In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, like Father, like Son. That's a good Father's Day idea. And it seems like there's a lot of other sayings that go a little bit like this. For example, and this is my favorite, the nut doesn't fall that far from the tree. Or when you have a new baby, you all who are parents know this, people look at the baby very closely, and then they look at your face, back to the baby, back to the face, and say things like, "She looks like her father," or "He has his daddy's eyes." Now, if this is a compliment or not depends wholly on the condition of the father's face. This has all something to do with the way God created fathers and mothers in the first few days of creation. That things are to give birth according to their kind. There is a similarity between parent and child. Ducks have little baby ducklings. Fish have little fish. And people have little baby babies. Like father, like son. But the trouble is, this is exactly how we got a hold of our sinfulness and our death and our devil. We inherited it. It was passed down from father to son and daughter, from Adam all the way to us. Paul teaches it to us like this, Romans 5, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned." You're a sinner because your father was a sinner, and his father, and his father, and his father, all the way back beyond any genealogy that we could keep, beyond any family tree, all the way back to Noah, all the way back to Adam. This is the teaching of original sin. I like to remind the catechism students that original sin does not mean a sin that no one had thought of yet. That's a really original one, no? Original sin is the sin of Adam in the garden. It was the first sin, the first breaking of the law, and it has affected even all people, and beyond that, as we read in the epistle lesson, all of creation. All creation moans in bondage to the corruption that it was subjected to. You have sin because you inherited it, and it is the same reason that you're dying. When we inherit sin, we inherit death. The nut doesn't fall that far from the tree. But dear Christians, listen. You have been born again, a second time, born from above to different parents, even to God the Father. This is the gift that baptism gives. When the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit put their name on you, you become a member of a new family. You are begotten of His mercy. You have a Father who is in heaven. Now that faith has come, says St. Paul, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Jesus Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Galatians 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the children of God. 1 John 3. We, the baptized, are children of the Heavenly Father. And this is what Jesus is talking about in the gospel reading today, especially the first verse. It is that the nut doesn't fall that far from the tree, or at least it shouldn't. Jesus says, "Be merciful as your Father is merciful." Like Father, like children. And how are we to be like our Heavenly Father? There are, after all, a lot of things that we could say about God, that He is powerful, that He is all-knowing, that He is in every place, that He is holy and strong and glorious. But the text doesn't command us to be like Him in any of these ways. Jesus does not say, be powerful as your Father is powerful. He does not say, be strong like your Father is strong. He does not say, be wise like your Father is wise, or good like your Father is good. None of these things. Rather, He goes right to the heart of who our Heavenly Father is. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Mercy is who God is. It is another name for Him. He delights in showing mercy and love and kindness and generosity. Do you know what your Father is like? This is the answer. He is merciful. He is generous. He is forgiving. He holds nothing back. We must, dear saints, we must see this above all else. For everything that we believe and confess and pray and sing is about this. God, our Father, is merciful. As a little aside, Christians are not the only ones that talk about the mercy of God. There's a phrase that's often repeated in the Quran that goes like this. Allah is oft forgiving and most merciful. I was wondering a few weeks back or a few months back if this was to be understood in the same way that we Christians understand the Lord's mercy. So I talked to our friends, Deacon Nizami and Dr. Naeem, about this teaching of Islam, about the forgiveness of sins, to see what they teach and confess. And we shouldn't be surprised that it turns out to be different. In the Quran, they teach that Adam and Eve did sin, breaking God's law, but that God, Allah, simply came and out of His free choice forgave them, and that this corruption wasn't passed on to His posterity. The big difference here, and this is important, is that in Islam, you have forgiveness without atonement. You have mercy without blood. Forgiveness stands simply as a decision of Allah, and it could just have well been, in fact, might have just as equally been the decision of Allah to destroy them. But the Scriptures teach us different. God's mercy is not just His free choice. It is His sacrifice. Mercy costs. It costs blood, and it costs life, even the very life of our Lord Jesus. It is His blood that is His grace. It is His suffering that is His love. His agony is our forgiveness, and His death is our life. Because His cross is His mercy. The water that bleaches your robes white and washes away all of your sin is water infused with the blood of Jesus. That's the kind of mercy that we're talking about. The Holy Trinity does not remain unaffected by your salvation. And this is the kind of mercy that Jesus is putting before us in the gospel reading. Because it's the kind of mercy that He has shown to each one of us. It was when we were His enemies that He suffered and died for us, so that He could have us as His own dear children and saints and friends. Our Father did not look to see if we deserved His mercy or if we would be thankful after we got it. He wasn't waiting around to see if we would be nice to Him first or any of this sort of thing. There are no conditions to His love. It has no limits and no ends. You, dear saints, were begotten of His mercy and of His love. Now Jesus says it. Live in His mercy and love. Show to others, your neighbors, His mercy and love. care for one another, love one another, forgive each other. But there's something even more here. For this is not really about what we are to do, but about who we are. We are the children of the Heavenly Father. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus, the same Jesus who went quietly to the cross. He is our vine, and we are His branches. We have His sap, His blood, running through us. For Jesus has declared us to be His holy ones, His perfect ones, His forgiven ones, His good ones. And it's good trees that produce good fruit. Jesus outlines what the good fruit of the merciful children of the merciful Father is in the text. Judge not, He says, condemn not, forgive and give. This is how the Father has shown you mercy, and now this is your mercy to show to your neighbor. Is there any time, you can answer this question, is there any time that the Father has held back His love for you? Is there any time that His forgiveness has failed? Then what are you to do? And how are you to live with your neighbor? Be merciful as your Father is merciful. And this applies not just to us as individuals, but to us as families and even as a congregation. It is a good question when we ask questions like this: how can my family show God's mercy to our neighbors? Or that we ask this question as a congregation: how can we show God's mercy to those around us? We pray that we nuts would not fall that far from the Father's tree, which is nothing other than the cross of Jesus. But Pastor, you say, I'm not merciful. At least not like I ought to be. Not like Jesus is. This is true for each one of us. So we end up back here praising God that our lovelessness does not stop His mercy. He knows that we need help, and He gives it. He even puts before us the meal of His mercy, where He feeds us with His cross, His very own body and blood, and the forgiveness of all of our sins. Here at His table, He sets us free. Free from worry, free to love and show compassion and mercy to our neighbors, free to forgive them as we have been freely forgiven. His mercy, over and over again, His mercy gives us all that we need to be merciful. May God grant to us in His gifts that we would see above all else this clearly, that our Father in heaven is merciful. May God grant it to be so with us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.